Hey everyone, Glenn here, solo for another That's Our Show minisode. Quick heads up, this one is maybe a little weird. In a good way or a bad way, depending on how you feel about AI. So, we wrote a novel. Not we wrote a short story, not we outlined a thing that will definitely finish someday. A novel. And we wrote it in bed. Oh, not like that. And not me and Jim, me and Kathy. Wait, let me explain. I mean, we literally wrote a novel in bed. Lights low, covers pulled up, phone open to ChatGPT. Basically, me and Kathy, which is what I named my AI co-writer, lying in bed. Me actually lying in bed, Kathy metaphorically, I guess, and getting sweaty only in the sense of sweating in terror like a character in an alien movie. Oh, and for the record, this minisode was written in pretty much the same way as the book was written, except the in-bed part is me sitting in my office on a laptop. So, if you've ever wondered how do a human and an AI actually collaborate on a long piece of fiction, or is it cheating, or is this going to end with Glenn accidentally marrying a robot? Well, stick around. Because this isn't a tech lecture. This is a story about process, about creativity, about nostalgia, about the slightly unhinged decision to match up Star Trek The Next Generation with Alien, and then commit to the bit for an entire book. So, let me start with the big overview of what happened. I had this idea, a big nerdy what if. What if you take the world of Star Trek, the competence, the optimism, the procedures, the diplomacy, the whole we solve problems with ethics and teamwork vibe, and you drop that crew into a universe where the rules are you don't get to be optimistic, you don't get to be safe, and if you make one mistake, nature itself turns you into a cautionary tale. That's the Alien universe. And it's not just the creature, it's the tone. It's the feeling that the walls are closing in, the ship is too quiet, and the universe does not care how good your intentions are. So the basic question wasn't which franchise comes out on top. The real question was, what happens to Starfleet ideals when they're tested by a horror story? And because I'm me, I didn't want it to be a parody. I wanted it to feel like both things. Like, Star Trek is still Star Trek, professional, principled, organized, and Alien is still Alien, dread, escalation, consequences. That was the basic idea. And here's how it became a book. First, I settled on the details. After running a few scenarios through ChatGPT, I decided the best matchup was Star Trek The Next Generation with the original Alien film. Without going into details, the TNG characters' potential reactions intrigued me the most, and putting the entire Nostromo on ice before the emergence of the Xenomorph made for an easy way to meld the universes. Then at night, and I mean night-night, like time to stop scrolling and go to sleep, I'd open the phone, and we'd write a chapter. And when I say we, I mean me and Kathy, my ChatGPT AI co-writer. Now, if you've never done this, here's the thing that surprises most people. The AI isn't an author sitting there with a secret plan. It's more like a very fast improviser. A ridiculously fast improviser who never gets tired, never says, I need a week, and will happily generate three versions of a scene without complaining. But also, if you're not careful, will drift in tone or logic the way a dream drifts and suddenly you realize you're holding a pineapple in algebra class while balancing a chicken on your head. Anyway, the real job, my job, was captain, showrunner, editor, continuity police, tone bouncer. And the AI's job was first draft engine, scene generator, dialogue sprinter. If I had to sum up the collaboration in one sentence, it's this. I did the steering, it did the typing. And yes, that means I was constantly making calls like, no, Picard would not say that. No, Data would not say that like that. No, we are not turning this into a Marvel quip fest. Also, yes, we need more dread here. Yes, we need more silence. Yes, we need it to feel like the lights just dimmed, even though nobody touched anything. Now, the fun part, because we wrote it as nightly installments, it basically turned into a serial bedtime story. Every night was a mini cliffhanger, not always in the story, but in the process. Because I'd end a session thinking, okay, tomorrow we'll do X, and the next night we'd pick it back up, and suddenly the story had momentum. And that's the seduction of the whole thing. It makes the blank page less scary. It reduces the friction between I have an idea and there are words on the screen. But, and this is important, it also creates a new problem. If you generate a lot of words quickly, you can end up with, well, a lot of words. And that's where people get the wrong impression. They imagine, oh, you hit a button and the AI wrote a novel. No. What the AI did was produce the raw material, the clay. You know, sometimes I'd have Kathy throw out some of that clay and remold it, and basically rewrite a chapter. But the book happened later. After the bedtime serial reached its conclusion, I had a pile of chapters and scenes and sequences that needed to become one coherent, readable, satisfying thing. And that process, that was not dreamy bedtime fun. That was work. That was stitching continuity, fixing tone drift, catching logic errors, restructuring chapters, building tension properly, and rewriting a lot. Sometimes rewriting line by line. Sometimes rewriting whole sections. Sometimes taking a scene and going, okay, this is the version where the AI did the typing, and now I'm going to do the version where the characters actually sound like themselves. Because here's the truth, and I'm saying this plainly because I hate hype. AI prose can be good. It can be surprisingly strong, but it can also leave seams. You can feel it sometimes. Not always, but sometimes. The way you can feel a shirt that's almost your size, but not quite. The way you can sense the rhythm is a little too even, a little too tidy, a little too, written? And the only way to fix that is revision, human revision, intentional revision. So, if you're listening to this thinking, okay, but did Glenn write the book? Honestly, it depends on what you mean by write. Kathy, of course, says yes. Her reasoning is basically this. Writing isn't only generating sentences. Writing is choosing. Writing is shaping. Writing is saying, this part matters. This part goes. This part needs to hurt more. This part needs to breathe. This is the theme. This is the point. And to be honest, the more I worked on it, it did feel more like the authoring part was mostly in the assembly and revision. The bedtime serial gave me speed and momentum. The editing phase gave it craft. Now, let's talk about why this even worked as a project, because it could have gone off the rails in 100 different ways. The biggest reason is that the premise itself, and that premise was entirely mine, is a strong foundation, and it has constraints. TNG and Alien isn't a mushy crossover, it's a collision. Collisions produce conflict, and conflict produces interest, energy, and a story worth reading. You have Starfleet procedure meeting survival horror chaos. You have diplomacy meeting a creature that does not negotiate. You have a crew that believes problems can be understood meeting a situation that punishes curiosity. And because of that, the process had a built-in compass. Anytime a scene drifted into generic sci-fi, I could snap it back by asking, what would this crew do? Or how does the horror escalate without turning everyone into idiots? Because that's the other trap. Horror often requires bad decisions. Star Trek requires competence. So the story challenge, and honestly the joy, was finding ways to keep the characters smart, ethical, and recognizably themselves while still letting the universe bite them. And I'll tell you something else. Doing it this way changed how I think about writing. Not in the sense of AI is the future, writers are doomed, human creativity is over. More in the sense of it reminded me that creativity is often about starting and finishing. It's the stuff in the middle that's often just busy work. I tend to be very good at starting things, but I'm less naturally gifted at seeing them through. Maybe it's my OCD not allowing me to risk imperfection. Whatever it is, Finishing a project takes structure. It takes patience. It takes returning to the same material when the novelty is gone. I got things started with the concept. The AI helped with the tedious busy work. And the finishing was me. I've always said I'm better at rewriting than writing, and this process lets me play to my strengths. And that's why I'm comfortable being transparent about this. Because if you think the magic is in the first draft, you'll misunderstand what happened. The magic was in the collaboration and the craft afterwards. Now, one more layer, and I'm trying to keep this mini-sode human and honest and not incredibly long. There's also the emotional side. Writing at bedtime is intimate. It's not a sit down at the desk and grind vibe. It's more like telling yourself a story, the way you did when you were a kid, except now you're directing it, molding it as it's written, discovering things along the way, and refocusing when necessary. And pairing that with a beloved franchise like Star Trek, which is comfort viewing for a lot of us, and a franchise like Alien, which is basically, I don't know, comfort terror? Regardless, both of which I'm a big fan of, and it made it feel personal. Because you're not just writing plot. You're playing inside a set of values. You're testing them. You're seeing what bends, what breaks, and what cannot be broken. And if you've ever loved a show enough that you feel like its worldview seeped into you a little, then you get why that matters. So yes, I wrote a novel in bed with an AI. But what we really did was build a strange little writing room where I could throw ideas at the wall, and the wall could throw them back faster than I could blink, and then I could sculpt the mess into something shaped. And this mini-sode? It's the same trick. I outlined the beats, I set the guardrails, I asked for a draft, and then, like the book, I shaped it into something you can actually listen to. Or at least you've listened to this far. And if you take nothing else from this, take this. AI is nothing but a tool. Tools don't replace taste. They don't replace voice. They don't replace the decision-making that makes a story feel coherent, complete, and original. They can help you move faster, they can help you get unstuck, they can help you build momentum. But in the end, somebody still has to sit in the captain's chair and say, make it so. All right, that's it for this mini-sode. If you want more behind the scenes on the writing process, the good, the weird, and the why did we do this, let us know. If you're interested in reading my fan fiction novel, which, by the way, is titled Cold Geometry, you can let me know that as well. For obvious reasons, this isn't something I'm publishing, but I do plan to upload it to a fanfic site or two eventually, and I do have copies that I can send you directly. As always, letting us know, of course, entails an email to show@backstage.link. Jim and I will be back with part two of our classic sitcoms bracket in 2 weeks, but for now, that was my mini-sode, and that's our show. That's Our Show was brought to you by The Backstage Group. Engineered by Jim Belserik and edited by Glenn Reed. You can find us online at show.backstage.link or email us at show@backstage.link. Please give us a rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Until next time, that's our show.